Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
Free the land. We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of New African people in solidarity, in support, and all hands up for the New African Independence Movement. And as always, I am your host, Brother Yera Amati, a.k.a. Prophecy. And as always, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community. But as always, we want to start out by shining the spotlight on an event, an individual, or an organization that played a significant role or is playing a significant role in the struggle for independence for New African people. And today we want to talk about actually a foundation. Since it's an election year and, you know, a big thing, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, well, actually we want to talk about a foundation that is actually run by the Clinton family. And information has surfaced that this foundation has been exploiting an entire nation, the nation of Haiti. As you know, Haiti is the first, really the only nation that was able to liberate itself from the system of chattel slavery and become an independent nation from that. So today this information comes out that the Clinton family has actually been exploiting this country for its wealth, its resources, and ultimately helped to create the poverty in which many of the Haitian people face. So today I want to start out by playing a clip that kind of explains exactly, can better articulate what's going on with the Clinton Foundation and the Haitian nation.
No, it's more than true. The money is much more than $6 billion. You see, after the earthquake, countries around the world donate billions of dollars. The amount was much larger than $6 billion. And Bill Clinton was in charge of the money. And not only people around the world, but also American celebrities donate a lot of larger money to rebuild Haiti. And hundreds of homes were destroyed after the earthquake. And if you can believe, the people are still living under tents. That's unacceptable. And not only they held the money, they kept the money, but Haiti had enough resources for them to be very comfortable. Haiti have oil, more oil than Venezuela. Nobody's talking about it. Haiti have gold. We have one of the largest gold mines in the Caribbean. So, and they let the world, nobody's saying anything about our goals. Yeah. And who do you think is in charge of our goal right now? The contract. Yeah. Tony Radom, Hillary Clinton's brother.
Wow.
He's got a 26-year contract. And then also Haiti used to produce, we used to produce our own rice. We didn't have to buy rice overseas. Bill Clinton destroyed our rice so his brother can sell the rice from Arkansas.
Yeah. Wow.
So they're doing a lot of things. Right now, if there's a millionaire or a billionaire who wants to do business in Haiti, they cannot do anything unless they check with the Clintons. The Clintons are the one who's running Haiti.
Yeah, right.
And we are living in the 21st century. We are the first black people who liberated ourselves from the French rule. We fought three empires, the British, the Spanish, the French. So it's unacceptable for us to be occupied right now. They dropping disease in Haiti. They stealing our money. They stealing our resources. So we are out here. We are outraged for the crimes of the Clintons. It's a family affair. Bill Clinton, the United Nations, named him the chief guy who was in charge of rebuilding Haiti, and then while Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. So it's a family thing. Chelsea Clinton, all the Clinton Foundation, they're just stealing money. And most of the money, I can tell you right now, I know they have a lot of speech for money around the world and for Wall Street, but most of the money they have right now is from Haiti, from the Haitian. And when they're letting the world know we are poor, let me give you one simple example. If you are super rich, and then I would go and tell the whole world that you are poor for years, for decades, and then everybody believes you're poor, and then I would come out and steal your money. And then you go and let everybody know I stole your money. They're going to think you're crazy because everybody knows, the world knows Haiti is the poorest country when we are not. We are rich. Haiti used to call the island of pearl. Haiti is still rich. So there are Haitian lawyers, Haitian doctors everywhere who wants, they are millionaires, who wants to go and spend their money in Haiti. But the United States government, not only they're stealing our resources, our money, they create kidnapping. Now we are even afraid to go to Haiti. You cannot walk in the street in Haiti. And then what the Clintons, they own the hotel, they go everywhere, they do whatever they want. This is unacceptable. I myself, I'm ready to die. I want the whole world to know who the Clintons are. This have to stop.
And there you hear it. Shocking information about how the Clinton family, with the Clinton Foundation and other corporations, have went into Haiti and stole the resources, undermined the Haitian economy, which pushes the Haitian people to live in poverty. So on this day, we want to shine the spotlight to expose the Clinton Foundation, but the entire Clinton family, for how they have used their corporation, used their institutions to exploit, undermine, and steal the resources of the first independent black nation that was able to liberate themselves from the system of chattel slavery. So that's what we want to acknowledge today, shine the spotlight of this exploitation, the stealing of resources from Haiti by the Clinton administration. Which leads us to our topic for today, because we're taught in school that we live in this great democracy. We're taught that America is the land of the free, home of the brave, land of the free. We're taught that one of America's goals and jobs and responsibility is to spread freedom throughout the world. But the question that we want to deal with today is America truly a democracy, or is it an empire? Is it a global empire? Because we saw in the clip, we heard in the clip how U.S. corporations, how the Clinton family has used their corporation, have used their foundation in order to go into another country and steal the resources of that country into poverty, where those people have no control over the resources in their own countries. Just like African people here in America, who have no control over the resources, have no control over the systems that govern our lives. People in Haiti are in a similar situation because their resources are being controlled by an outside force, and they're not allowed, if you heard in the clip, they're not allowed to even develop many of the things that they have, many of the resources that they have right at their hand. They're not even able to sell their own rights, because the rice of Arkansas is being sold, and it undermines the local economy, and therefore the people in that local economy are not able to survive when the resources are right there in their backyard. And this is something common. This is something similar throughout the entire world. This is how the United States spreads its global empire. See, because it is my opinion, well, it's not even my opinion, it's more a fact, that America is not a democracy. America is, in fact, an empire. But instead of being controlled by a king or an emperor, controlled by major corporations of gaining maximum profit and power to the ruling elite, just as we saw with the cleanse in Haiti. And this is how they do it through their institutions like the World Bank, the IMF. They go into countries. They give them loans with conditions like you have to debase your currency, so your currency is not worth anything. Then U.S. corporations come in and they buy up all of the resources for pennies on the dollar. And then they make it illegal for the people in the local economy, the people who live there, the indigenous people of that country, to even benefit from the resources that are right there in their hands. In fact, in many cases, they no longer even control the resources in their backyard. And there are several conditions that come along with these loans that these countries, in many cases, are forced to accept. And these loans by the IMF and the World Bank, they benefit of few that live in these countries. A bourgeoisie, you hear us talking about the bourgeoisie. They create an elitist class within those countries throughout the world. And these very few ruling elitists in these countries benefit. They get wealthy, they get rich, while the masses of people suffer. And these ruling elite are controlling elite within the United States. And as long as they allow them access to the resources, then they still remain comfortable. They're allowed to live comfortable. But what happens if a country has a leader that's strong enough to say, no, we're not going to go for that. We're not trying to do that. Well, then a couple of things, and if you want a frame of reference for this, or a reference point of reference, and read the book called Economic Hitman. In fact, you can go online and just Google or YouTube Economic Hitman, and you have people talking about it, authors of the book, who talk about the very process in which the United States conquers other countries through their economic machines, through their economic entities. And it spreads capitalism, and it really creates economic empire. But like I said, when a country does not play ball, one of the first things they do through the CIA, they try to infiltrate the country, spread propaganda, fund rival groups to the government, and they try to get the leadership replaced by someone who will play ball with them. Now, if they can't do that, if all else fails, if they can't bribe the leadership, if they can't fund opposition group or get the people to turn on the leadership, then they'll do what they did in Iraq. They will go in and invade, and they will physically remove the leadership, and they will physically conquer the country. They'll do what they did to Gaddafi, because you have to understand what Gaddafi was about to do. Gaddafi was about to take the currency, the power of his currency back, because he was about to stop selling gold or oil. He was about to stop selling oil in the dollar, which would undermine the U.S. dollar and empower African currency and empower African nations. Therefore, the resources that came from Africa would go to benefit the African people. And he was taken out because that's a no-no, because that's a direct threat to the American empire. That's a direct threat to the empires in the West. But as always, we are joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. So this is what we want to talk about today. Is America a democracy, or is America truly a global empire? And I see I have my brother Kakayi, who has been holding for a long time. Brother Kakayi, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what do you think about our topic today? Is America truly a democracy that's just trying to spread democracy throughout the world, or is it really a global empire? What are your thoughts, brother?
You know, if we want to consider the United States a democracy, you know, it hasn't been put better than the Honorable Malcolm X, Malik Shabazz, and he said that, you know, democracy in America, democracy is a hypocrisy. It is an empire. As a matter of fact, it has reached the heights of implementing imperialism worldwide. And, you know, we as a people have to understand that it is a conspiracy to not teach us our history. And when you begin to learn your history, you begin to learn that it may take a lifetime to understand everything that's going on unless you're in an environment where you're being taught the facts. You know, most of the masses of our people, new Africans, don't know about the economic hitman. They don't know the tactics and strategies that are used in order to conquer a nation. It's modern-day colonialism. Like you say, they send the hitmen in first and give you ultimatums. You know, the reason that the hitmen don't work sometimes, because the majority of the time, the people that they're attacking are not prepared for the hitmen, and they end up being assassinated. But if they can't assassinate these leaders, we have to recognize why. Usually it's because the leaders have the support of the people, and then the economic hitman can't readily get close enough to the leaders because they have a nation of people supporting that leader. So then they begin to implement other tactics. And like you said, ultimately they create trumped up charges to get the world to think that this nation is violating some type of international laws, which they actually own. And then they go in and invade, and they use it by force, by power. And we have to understand that armed struggle is the answer. You can't deal with these folks because they already know the solution is fighting. And so they implement that tactic as a last resort in all of their affairs, so that ultimately, they are always victorious. That's why they have the military base here in the United States. That's why the IMF and World Bank is headquartered in Washington, D.C., on Pennsylvania Avenue, two blocks from the White House. This is why they have people put into office that represent their goals and objectives to carry them out. And if you don't carry them out, they kill your family, they kill you, and they'll put some type of contra or guerrilla organization against you. We see it time and time again. In Nicaragua, these people were suffering so bad that they had a grassroots movement called the Sandinistas that took over Nicaragua and gained their independence and nationalized their companies. One of their companies was the United Fruit Company, which was infiltrated by the Bush family, who actually did the same thing that the Clintons are doing now to Haiti. And that is they went in and took all of the bananas, all of the – and we don't understand why they call Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, Belize, Costa Rica, Panama, all of them banana republics, because the Bush came in there with the United Fruit Company and took all of the fruits out, mainly bananas, and coordinated with the Vanderbilts on a railroad to get it into the United States, and they reaped the benefits. And because the Sandinistas nationalized, which is from Nicaragua, nationalized their company, took all of their funds, they began to effectively create a tactic to get rid of the Sandinistas. The Sandinistas has a wealth of oil, has a wealth of resources, and they do it time and time again. But the most important thing is that they know that at the end of the day, if you can't get what you want from somebody, you got to fight for it and take it back. And that's where our people have to understand that we're at that point. As a people, we got to understand that they ain't giving us nothing worldwide. Examples after examples exist that this is the means, this is the solution to our problem, and it has to be taken in our own hands. Our destiny has to be taken in our own hands. And we talk about Haiti. Haiti is just a representation of the Clintons reading their history and doing the same thing the Bush did and all the other Rothschilds and all the rest of them in order to gain wealth and dominance and becoming part of the elite. And this is goes on worldwide, country by country. This is what an empire does. They come in and colonize a nation. They make the nation take on their culture. They make the nation feed into their system of economics, capitalism. We know just by being citizens here in the United States, if you want a mega corporation in the United States, the first requirement cannot be surpassed, and that is a wealth of investments to get the money that you need to kick your business off. The only people that can do what it takes and what is required to be successful in this economic system is the elite people, because they keep loaning each other money, fiat money. And just to close with this, you are absolutely right about Gaddafi. He was changing the way the economics would be worldwide by changing the oil and how the money would be transacted with the oil. It would be a new denomination that would be necessary to purchase that oil. But the main focus was that the money that they were going to change over to was backed by gold. It wasn't fiat money. The resources, like I normally say to my comrades, you don't rob a broke person. So anytime we see that the United States are robbing Haiti, is robbing Morocco, is robbing Sudan, robbing the Congo, robbing all of these African nations, it's because they have money. They have resources. We the only ones don't recognize that these countries are rich countries. We the only ones don't recognize that Haiti is a rich company. Why would you rob a broke country unless they have resources and wealth? And that's what we have to understand. And then at the end of the day, we are not going to be given anything. We have to fight for what we believe in. And like the brother said in Haiti, you know, this atrocity is so bad that he would die to fight for their freedom and their resources. And that's where we all need to be right now mentally worldwide. The United States is an empire. We have to recognize it, and we have to look at that video called The Economic Hitman. Free the land, brother.
Free land, in my will. Well said, brother. Well said. And, oh, just one thing I wanted to add. Anytime you see, you hear about a war, or you know, understand that we're in war with a certain country or something over a certain conflict or any type of military move that the United States makes against a country, regardless of what they tell you. They can say it's about fighting terrorism. They can say it's about fundamentalist Islamic fundamentalists or whatever they tell you. Wars are only fought over resources, fought over the people of the country, the land, and the resources within that land. That's it. They're not fought over ideas. They're not fought over principles. They're not fought over any of those things. They're fought over land, resources, and people. So, but I want to definitely hear from my comrade, Ayodele. Ayodele, I know you've been waiting on the line for a long time. Are you here? You still here, sister?
Free the land, brother. I am, I will.
I am, I will. Free the land, sister. So what do you think? Is America truly this global democracy, or is it a global empire?
I think the whole nature of imperialism as we see it today, which is worldwide, which is global, is that there is a quest to dominate the economies of the world, to dictate. And as Brother Kokai, you know, brilliantly said, it's all about resources. Land, theoretically, is supposed to be the source of independence. However, if you are controlling nations, as imperialism does, whether it be from the British, whether it be from the U.S., whether it be from the French, we know today that the United States of America is the number one world power, and it is at direct odds with people who are trying to strive just everyday living for self-determination. When we talk about imperialism, it's all about the conquest of a nation to turn that nation into a mindset that allows outside entity to come in, take the resources of a country, and then dictate how their laws, how their culture, their language needs to be manifested in those countries. That's the real essence of neocolonialism today, which is the highest stage of imperialism. Imperialism, in its very essence, comes in, dominates the people, takes the resources, creates a system where they're struggling every day, whether it's 10 cents a day, and yet millions are being made for multinational companies, the so-called bourgeoisies of the world, the Great Five that's supposed to be dominating this whole world order, and we need to find ways to teach our people that we have to look at how imperialism affects each and every one of us in our various lands, because it is a global system. And even from its inception here in America, we always have to study our history. We know that the Europeans came over here, found a peaceful, loving indigenous people. The people had a mindset of the earth is free. You can come and live. You can come and cohabitate with us. But they came with domination. They came with the fact that we have the manifest destiny to take a people's land, to dominate them, kill them off, and make it our own. And in its inception, that was the beginnings of what we call imperialism today. And it has continued with the institution of chattel slavery to build an empire, particularly here in America on behalf of Britain, France, England, all of them. They all participated in chattel slavery, and they all benefited greatly. And it launched a whole movement off the backs of African people and indigenous people that they originally wiped out. And it continues today. And when a country decides that they want to take back their country, their resources, be able to have free trade with whomever they want, that is when they institute mechanisms to bring down an economy, to kill off leaders, to twist the people's minds against the leaders who are trying to rebel, and to create internal struggles. We know the strategy and tactics. that they use. It's there for all to see and analyze. Our task is to internalize these pieces of information and through deeds and actions and thoughts, stop the imperialistic mentality. Because whether we participate or we don't participate, if we say nothing, if we think nothing, we are in essence upholding a system that not only dominates the rest of the world but dominates African people here in America. And there are just simple things that we can institute in our lives to help bring down imperialism. Free the land, brother.
Free the land, sister. Well said, well said. And we are actually just about out of time. I just got to think that the show is almost out of time. Really, we are. We're over our time a little bit. So we're gonna use this as a stopping place. But I will say this. When you look at the issues that we face here in America, there's new African people, there's African people here, black people here in America. I mean, with the crime, the poverty, the police brutality, the poisoning of our water supply, our food supply, the mass incarceration, the prison, the school to prison pipeline, miseducation. We can go on and on and on and on and on about the ways in which we are being exploited, discriminated against, and targeted here in America. But understanding that, we must also understand that our situation, we're not sitting on an island. It's not just an isolated oppression in which we suffer here in America. We're actually part of a global oppression, because the same oppressors that are oppressing us here in America, that are exploiting us here in America, are exploiting people all over the world, all over the globe. We must recognize this. We must recognize that our struggle is a global struggle. And we must begin to look at ourselves as a global people, not just someone who is within the boundaries of the United States struggling for civil rights, which is nothing but what the oppressor, the exploiter, allows you to get, the rights in which your enemy, the rights that the people who have benefited from your exploitation allow you to gain. Now, we have to look at ourselves as a global people and connect with a global struggle against this system of capitalism, imperialism, and colonialism, and unite with a global community as we struggle right here for independence, nationhood, for land, in the establishment of economic system that is not based on exploitation of people. Changing our mentality, changing our actions, changing our goals and objectives. Stop focusing on whether we vote for a crazy dude named Donald Trump or evil woman named Hillary Clinton, expecting one of the two, the lesser of two evils, to come down us and save us. We have to start thinking on the lines of saving ourselves, becoming self-sufficient, becoming independent, and gaining a global struggle against a global enemy. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, for listening every week. Join us every Sunday as we discuss topics that are relevant to the New African Independence Movement. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amati. Thank you for my guests, some of the brightest minds in the New African community. We will see you again. I'll hear from you again next week. Free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being, in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.